الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحديث الحادي عشر من كتاب الأربعين النووية عن أبي محمد الحسن بن علي بن أبي طالب سبط رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وريحانته رضي الله عنهما قال: حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. رواه الترمذي والنسائي. وقال الترمذي: حديث حسن صحيح. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. حديث حسن. ورواه الترمذي وغيره هكذا.
أستاذ العثيمين الشيخ محمد بن صالح.
قال الشيخ محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى في شرحه على الأربعين النووية شرح الحديث، قال: وهذا الحديث من جوامع الكلم وما أجوده وأنفعه للعبد إذا سار عليه، فالعبد يرد عليه فالعبد يرد عليه شكوككم في أشياء كثيرة، فنقول: دع الشك إلى ما لا شك فيه حتى تستريح وتسلم، فكل شيء يلحقك فيه به شك وقلق وريب اتركه إلى أمر لا يلحقك به ريب، وهذا ما لا يغلل إلى حد الوسواس، فإن وصل إلى حد الوسواس فلا تلتفت إليه. وهذا يكون في العبادات، ويكون في المعاملات، ويكون في النكاح، ويكون في كل أبواب العلم. ومثال ذلك في العبادات: رجل انتقض وضوءه ثم صلى، وشك هل توضأ بعد نقض الوضوء أم لم يتوضأ، فوقع في الشك، فإن توضأ فالصلاة صحيحة، وإن لم يتوضأ فالصلاة باطلة، وبقي في قلق. فنقول: دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. فالريب هنا صحة الصلاة، وعدم الريب أن تتوضأ وتصلي. وعكس المثال السابق: رجل توضأ ثم صلى، وشك هل انتقض وضوءه أم لا، فنقول: دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك، عندك شيء متيقن وهو الوضوء، ثم شككت هل طلأ على هذا الوضوء حدث أم لا، فالذي يترك هو الشك هل حصل حدث أو لا، وأرح نفسك واترك الشك. وكذلك أيضا في النكاح، كما لو شك الإنسان في شاهدي النكاح هل هما ذوى عدل أم لا، فنقول: إذا كان الأمر قد تم وانتهى فقد انتهى على الصحة، ودع القلب، لأن الأصل في العقود الصحة حتى يقوم دليل على الفساد. في الرضاع، شك المرضعة هل أرضعت الطفل 5 مرات أو 4 مرات، نقول: الذي لا ريب فيه الأربع، والخامسة فيها ريب، فنقول: دع الخامسة واقتصر على 4، وحينئذ لا يثبت حكم الرضاع. هذا الباب واسع، لكنه في الحقيقة طريق مستقيم إذا مشى الإنسان عليه في حياته حصل على خير كثير. دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه. سمعتم بعض الكلمات على هذا الحديث الذي يعتبر من جوامع الكلم الذي قل لفظه وعظم معناه. وقد جاء في حديث النعمان قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: الحلال يبين والحرام يبين، وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. هذا له علاقة بهذا الحديث الذي سمعتم، وذلك أن ما كان حلالا لا يتطرق الشك إلى تحريمه، وما كان حراما بنص الكتاب والسنة لا يتطرق الأمر إلى حله. ولكن الأمور المشتبهة التي يعلمها العلماء فينظرون فيها إلى القواعد الشرعية التي إذا أخذ بها الإنسان وصل إلى الحق بواسطة هذه القواعد التي قعدها أهل العلم، وهي مستنبطة من النصوص الشرعية. وما كان من أمر مشتبه وأشكل على الإنسان أحلال هو أم حرام، فإنه يستعين بالله ثم بالقواعد التي استنبطت من النصوص، فإن رآه لاحقا إن شك في حل شيء وحرمته ورجع إلى القواعد فلابد أن يلحق بأحد الأمرين، إما بالحلال وإما بالحرام. فإذا لحق بالحلال فلا يشك في حله، وإذا لحق بالحرام بعد النظر في القواعد الشرعية فلا يشك في تحريمه. فما كان فيه ريب كما سمعتم في الأمثلة، فإن الأشياء تبقى على أصولها. كما مثل الشيخ رحمه الله أن الإنسان إذا تطهر وكان على طهارة ثم شك هل أحدث أم لم يحدث، فالأصل المتيمن الطهارة، إذن فالحكم لها للطهارة، له أن يصلي وله أن يفعل من الأعمال ما تشترط الطهارة لصحته. وإن تيقن بأنه على حدث وشك هل توضأ بعد الحدث أم لم يتوضأ بعد الحدث، فالأصل أنه محدث، فلو صلى لا تصح صلاته ولا بد من إعادتها. إذن فالأشياء تبقى على أصولها المتيقنة، ولا يضر الشك إذا عرف الأصل. علم للإنسان ما كان عليه قبل أن يطلب الشك، ولهذا أمثلة متعددة في باب العبادات والمعاملات وفي باب الحياة الاجتماعية والحياة الزوجية، وكل ذلك من يسر الدين وسهولته ورحمة الله عز وجل بالأمة أن يترك الإنسان ما يريبه ويشك فيه إلى ما لا يشك فيه ولا يتصور بأنه يقع في خطأ بعد ذلك.
صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى: إن الإسلام جمع المحاسن، ومحاسن الإسلام كلها تجتمع في كلمتين. قال الله عز وجل: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان. ثانيا: أن ترك الإنسان ما لا يهتم به ولا تتعلق به أموره وحاجاته من حسن إسلامه. ثالثا: أن من اشتغل بما لا يعنيه فإن إسلامه ليس بذلك الحسن. وهذا يقع كثيرا لبعض الناس، فتجده يتكلم في أشياء لا تعنيه، أو يأتي لإنسان يسأله عن أشياء لا تعنيه ويتدخل فيما لا يعنيه، وكل هذا يدل على ضعف الإسلام. رابعا: أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يتطلب محاسن إسلامه فيترك ما لا يعنيه ويستريح، لأنه إذا اشتغل بأمور لا تهمه ولا تعنيه فقد أتعب نفسه. وهنا قد يرد إشكال، وهو: هل ترك العبد ما لا يعنيه هو ترك الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر؟ والجواب: لا، لأن الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر مما يعني الإنسان، كما قال الله عز وجل: ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. فلو رأيت إنسانا على منكر وقلت له: يا أخي هذا منكر لا يجوز، فليس له الحق أن يقول هذا لا يعنيك، ولو قاله لم يقبل منه، لأن الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر يعني الأمة الإسلامية كلها. ومن ذلك أيضا ما يتعلق بالأهل والأبناء والبنات، فإنه يعني راعي البيت أن يدلهم على الخير ويأمرهم به ويحذرهم من الشر وينهاهم عنه. قال الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. والله الموفق.
وهذا الشرح المفصل لهذا الحديث واضح حيث دلالة على المعنى، وهو أن من حسن إسلامه ولا يحسن الإسلام إلا بالعلم بأحكام الإسلام، فمن تعلم أحكام الإسلام وعرف فضائله ومحاسنه والتزم بها فإنه لا يضل، لأنه حقق إسلامه الذي قال الله عز وجل فيه: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. فضول الكلام وفضول العمل منهي عنه لهذا الحديث ولغيره، فالمكلف من عالم الإنس والجن مسؤول عن كل كلمة ينطقها بشهادة القرآن الكريم، كما في قول الله تعالى: ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد، أي ما يتكلم من كلمة خير أو شر أو غير ذلك إلا وكتبت إما له وإما عليه. فالفضول في الكلام على الإنسان لا له، وما كان صالحا من الكلام سواء نافعا للنفس أو متعديا إلى الغير فإنه له، وما كان ضارا من الكلام لتعديه فيه إما بغيبة أو نميمة أو كذب أو قول زور أو يهرف بما لا يعرف، فإنه عليه ويتحمل تبعته لأنه سجل في صحيفة عمله. لذا وجب على المسلمين والمسلمات رفض لغو القول وفضول الكلام، فمن أراد أن يتكلم فلينظر قبل النطق ماذا يريد أن يتكلم فيه، فإن كان خيرا أمضى وإن كان شرا كف لسانه عنه. وهكذا العمل يرفض فضول العمل الذي ليس فيه خير، وهذا هو الغالب على فضول العمل أنه لا خير فيه، فما من عمل فيه خير إلا وقد حث عليه الإسلام ورغب فيه ووعد عليه الجزاء الأوفى. وما من عمل فيه شر إلا وقد حذر منه الإسلام، وما ذلك إلا لضرره الذي يلحق المتكلم. فالأمر عظيم ومهم، والتحكم في اللسان وفي الجوارح أمر يجب أن ينظر إليه بعين الاعتبار دائما وأبدا. فمدار الصلاح والفلاح وغير ذلك على ما يتكلم به الإنسان ويعتقده ويعمله بجوارحه. فلنبتعد عن فضول الكلام وعن فضول العمل الذي يضر ولا ينفع. ومن كان كذلك فقد حسن إسلامه وانتفع بما سمع من وصايا كتاب ربنا وصحيح سنة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله يتولانا وإياكم بلطفه وتوفيقه وتسديده في الأمور.
صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So the first hadith on the authority of Abu Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cherished by him, who said, I memorized from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refrain from what you doubt for what you do not doubt. Related by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, and al-Tirmidhi said, this hadith is sound. Also on the authority of Abu Huraira, this is the next hadith, also the authority on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the perfection of a person's Islam is abstaining from that which does not concern him. Hadith is sound and related by Imam al-Tirmidhi and others in this form. So the Sheikh son began by reading the explanation of Sheikh Muhammad Salih al-Haythameen on this hadith. And briefly we mentioned, he said that, he said that this hadith referring to the first hadith of on the authority of Al-Hasan bin Ali. He said, Shaykh, this hadith is from the comprehensive speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And said, how beautiful is this hadith for the slave to implement and to follow. And we say, for the person who implements this hadith, you leave that which is doubtful to you to that which does not doubt you. And this is in everything. Everything that you have doubt in, then you leave it and you go to something which you have no doubt in. and this is in, يعني, whether it is in worship, dealings with the people, nikah, and so on. And the Sheikh continues, Sheikh Muhammad Salah Thaymin, he continues, he says, as for the, an example of the worship, that if the person, he had doubt that, يعني, he, for example, he relieved himself, and he had doubt if he performed wudu or not, then you go back to the foundation or to the origin that he did not make wudu, and then he performs wudu and he prays. And also the other way, if the person performed wudu and he had a doubt that he nullified his wudu, he had a doubt that he nullified his wudu, then the origin is you go back to the origin, which is he was certain that he made wudu, he performed ablution, then he remains upon ablution until he's certain that he broke it. So he allowed to pray like that. Secondly, in the nikah, in a ceremony of or marriage ceremonies, if the person was doubtful in the two witnesses that are present to help the person conduct the nikah, if he was doubtful that there are people who are worthy of being witnesses, yes, they are not sinners, open sinners, then, and the nikah took place, the nikah was conducted, then the Sheikh said, then the nikah was conducted correctly. The nikah was conducted correctly because the person, he was only doubtful, he was not certain. Yes, and the nikah is correct until there's a proof that the nikah something invalidates it. So the nikah is correct until something proves that it is batil. As for breastfeeding, يعني رضاعة, the Sheikh said, for example, we know that when the person, نعم إن شاء الله. As for breastfeeding, we know that five breastfeeds makes a person the son of the woman, for example. And the Sheikh said, if the person was doubtful or the woman was doubtful that she breastfed the child four or five times, yes, then you base it on the least, you base it on the least, which is four. And if you were doubtful, so you say four, and that means that the person does not become the son of the woman. نعم. And the Sheikh continues and he says, this door is very wide open, this field or this part of the religion is very wide, yes, and however it has many khair, it has much khair, this principle. Then the Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Hafidhullah, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he mentioned that you have heard some of the comments on of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah regarding this hadith, which is considered to be from the comprehensive speech of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the comprehensive speech which it is few in wording but large in meaning. And also it has been narrated on the authority of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that halal is clay, that which is halal is clay, and haram is clay, and between them there are doubtful matters. Between them, they are doubtful matters until the end of the hadith. So the Sheikh said that hadith is connected to this one. That hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir is connected to this one. And that which is halal, yes, that which is halal, and you have a doubt that this halal is, there has something haram in it. Yes, and also vice versa, if this something haram, and you're doubtful that this could be halal, then you refer back to the principles in the religion. The Sheikh said there's also doubtful matters between the halal and the haram, and the doubtful matters are known by the scholars. The doubtful matters between the halal and the haram are known by the scholars, and the scholars, they would discuss these doubtful matters, and they would weigh it according to the principles in the religion. They would solve it according to the principles in the religion. The principles which, if the person uses, he would reach the truth, through them. The person would reach the truth, which whether it's halal or haram, through the principles which the scholars have set in the religion. And those principles in the religion are derived from the book and the sunnah. Those principles are derived from the book and the sunnah. So the Sheikh said, if there was a doubtful matter, whether And the person is doubtful whether this particular affair is halal or haram, then he seeks assistance in Allah. The person seeks assistance in Allah, and after that, he seeks the principles in the religion which are derived from the book and the sunnah. Yes, And whosoever is doubtful regarding anything, whether it is halal or haram, and he goes back to the principles in a religion, he would find out if this particular thing is, يعني, can be included in the halal or could be included in the haram, and therefore would find out the ruling of it. So the Sheikh said, when it is related to the halal, this issue, after you apply the principles in a religion to it, when it is included in the halal, then it becomes halal and the person should not have a doubt. Then this halal for you. And as for if it is included in the haram, has part of it in the haram or connection to the haram, then it is haram and the person should not have doubt about it anymore. After, of course, applying the principles. So the Sheikh said, that means that everything remains in its original form unless you're certain that something came about to change it. For example, he said, tahara, purification. Yes, you remain upon tahara. If you performed wudu, for example, you remain upon purification, yes, upon the origin, until something comes about to nullify it. Something certain to nullify it. As for if you were doubtful, then it still remains in the original form. So if the person, the Sheikh said, was upon tahara, upon purification, and he was doubtful that he has nullified his wudu, doubtful, yes, then the Sheikh said the ruling here is that he's still upon tahara. If he had a doubt, if he was not certain, yes, he had a doubt that he nullified his wudu, then the ruling is he's still on tahara because he's only doubtful, and he is allowed to pray and to perform all the types of worship which requires the person to have tahara. Yes, so this is allowed for him. As for the person, if he relieved himself, he went to the toilet, yes, and he was doubtful whether he performed wudu or not. Yes, he was doubtful whether he performed wudu or not. Then here, the origin or the foundation is that he did, he was not upon tahara. He was not upon purification. Yes, so he has to make wudu. And if he doesn't make wudu and he prays, then his prayer is invalid. Yes, so you always go to that which you are certain about. So the person was certain that he went to the toilet, right? He was not certain that he performed wudu. Then that means he does not have wudu. And the opposite is true. Naam, and Sheikh said, continuing, so the origin or the foundation is that everything remains in its original form. Yes, until something changes it. And the doubt does not affect it. The doubt does not affect it or harm it. Yes? And this has many examples, the Sheikh says, in the area of worship, dealings, and also marital life, and the social life, and so on. It has many examples of this principle or foundation has many examples. And all of that is from the ease of this religion. All of that is from the ease of this religion, and also from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah, that he ordered us to leave that which is doubtful to us. We leave off that which is doubtful and we go to, we swap it with that which is not doubtful to us. Yes, and the person does not, when he leaves something which is doubtful to something which is not doubtful, he should not think that he has fallen into a mistake. Naam. Then the hadith of Abu Hurairah, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the perfection of a person's Islam is abstaining from what does not concern him. Yes. So Sheikh Muhammad Salih Al-Haythaymeen mentions some benefits from this hadith, and he says that verily Islam has gathered between all of the good qualities. Yes, verily Islam has gathered between all the good qualities, and all of those good qualities gather into words or a statement in Allah, in the book of Allah, that verily Allah commands with perfection and justice. Yes, verily Allah commands with justice and perfection. So all of the Islam is gathered between in the statement of Allah, this one. And the Sheikh says, mentions from some of the benefits, he says, so whosoever occupies himself with that which does not concern him, then this person, his Islam is not perfect. If you concern yourself and occupy yourself with that which does not concern you, then this person's Islam is not perfect. And the Sheikh said, we see examples of this everywhere. We see people who occupy themselves with what the people do and what they say and so on. We see this everywhere. Also, from the benefits of this hadith, the Sheikh said, is that the person who is seeking to perfect his Islam should not occupy himself. if you want to make your Islam perfect, then you should not occupy yourself with that which does not concern you, with the business of the other people. And the Sheikh said, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen here, rahimahullah, he mentions a benefit and he says, does this mean leaving off something which does not concern you? Does this mean that you do not command the good and forbid the evil? Does this mean this? And he answers by saying, no. We say to this person, commanding the good and forbidding the evil is from that which does concern the person. Commanding the good and forbidding the evil is from the affairs which concern the person. Yes? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and let be يعني, a group of you who command the good and forbid the evil. Let be a group from you, amongst you, to forbid the good and forbid the evil and command the good. Naam? Huh? And also the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh Muhammad Salih Al-Taymi, from the benefit, he says, that which is in relation to the person's family and his offspring, his children and his family, that the people who he's responsible for, then it is also upon him to command them with good. He has to show them the good and show them the bad. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you who believe, protect yourself or save yourself from and your families from the hellfire. Then Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, hafizahullah, he began his explanation or his comment on this hadith, and he says, this detailed explanation by the Sheikh is very clear and also acts as proof that the person who perfects his Islam, or that rather if the person is seeking to perfect his Islam, then he has to be well informed, and he has to be well informed of the ahkam, the legislation of the religion. If you want to perfect your Islam, then you have to know the rulings and the legislations in the religion of Allah. So whosoever learns Islam and he knows the virtues and he understands the virtues of Islam and he sticks to them and he implements them, then the Sheikh said, this person would not be misguided and he would not deviate from the correct way, because he has achieved and fulfilled the Islam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna deena inda Allah Islam, verily the religion with Allah is Islam, verily the religion with Allah is Islam. So the Sheikh said, the excess or the excessive speech and action, it is forbidden. Yes, it is forbidden. And the proof of this is this hadith and other than this hadith. So the people who are obliged from the jinn and from the ins. Yes, the people who are obliged from the ins and the jinn, each one of them is responsible for every word that he utters. Yes, you are responsible for every word that you speak. And this is from the proof for this is from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا يَلْفَذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. He does not speak any word except he has angels that write what he says. Yes, except that he has angels that write what he says. The Sheikh said, and this is whether it is good or bad. If he says something good or bad, it's written for him. And it will be either for him or against him. Everything that is written for him is either for him or against him. Either will benefit him or will harm him. So the Sheikh said, if he said something good, then that would benefit him. Whether he said something that is beneficial for himself or for the others, or he did something in action for himself or for the others, then this is for him. As for if he does or say something which harm him or harm the others, then this is against him and would only harm him. And this is for example, transgression. If the person backbites, he speaks about the people behind their backs, or he instigates between the people, he makes problem between the people, or he lies, or he falsely testifies to something. Yes, all of this will be against him, and all of this from that which harms the people. Or the Sheikh said, he speaks of that which he does not know. He speaks of that which he does not know. He has no knowledge of. Then this is against him, and he will bear the burden and responsibility for what he has done. The Sheikh said, for that reason, it is obligatory upon the Muslims to leave off the excessive speech and action. Yes? And whosoever wants to speak, then let him see what he's about to say. Before he says it, let him think about what am I going to say? And is this going to benefit me or is it going to harm me? So if it's a benefit or something khair, then the Sheikh said, he should say it, continue. But if it's harm, then let him refrain and abstain from saying it. Naam? And likewise, the excessive actions. Likewise, excessive actions, if the person does something, an action which does not have any good. And the Sheikh said, and the majority of times, the excessive actions are not good. The majority of times, the excessive actions are not good, because there is not any good action except that Islam, يعني, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about. There's not any good action except that Islam told us about and commands us to do, and will be rewarded for if we do it. Yes? And there's not an evil action except that Islam warned us from it. Yes? And admonished us from doing it, and if we do it, we'll be sinful. Yes? So the Sheikh said the majority of the excessive action is bad and is harmful. And lastly, the Sheikh said, so the issue is very important. The issue is very great and very important. And controlling the tongue is very important when you control your tongue. And the person should always look to what he says and what he does. Yes? And the rectification of the people is based upon what they say, what they believe, and what they do. The rectification of the person is upon or based upon what he says, what he believes, and what he does. Yes? So the Sheikh said, let us stay away from the excessive speech and action, and whosoever leaves off the excessive speech and action, then his Islam is perfected. His Islam is perfected, and he has benefited from the advice from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the end, the Sheikh said, and ask Allah to take care of all of our affairs with His mercy and gentleness, and grant us His success. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.